Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 225. I'm Rob Wright, Security News Director at TechTarget, and I am here with Senior Security News Writer Alex Kalafi. Alex, welcome.
Thanks, Rob.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, but you know who's not good, allegedly, are the affiliates of Alpha, Alphiv, / Black Cat. Who may have lost access to a $20 million payment from the Change Healthcare attack, allegedly. Yeah.
Yes, we are talking about the recent, abrupt, apparent shutdown of AlphaV / Black Cat. Let's just call them Black Cat because that's easier to pronounce and we don't need to do the slash thing throughout the rest of the pod. They abruptly shut down. Mm-hmm. There are some questions about why they shut down, but it does seem to be a voluntary closure of the operation. And there were some questions about it. Alex, you wrote about this, so let's get right into it because it's really fascinating to me.
Yeah, so Alpha Black Cat, I'll just say Black Cat is one of the bigger ransomware actors out there. They're ransomware as a service sort of focused threat actor, meaning that they have a malware that's distributed to affiliates who basically use the malware to conduct attacks and then send the payment to a Black Cat who then gives them a cut. Pretty standard affiliate ransomware as a service model. So back in December, they've done a few big attacks. They took credit for the MGM Resorts one last year, and they've done some other ones as well. But in December, it was announced that through coordinated law enforcement action led by the FBI, I believe. Mm-hmm. This one was FBI. NCA was the Lockbit one.
Yep.
That they basically took down partially elements of Black Cat's infrastructure, which I think included data leak sites. I think there may have been some seizures. But at a minimum, they seized multiple websites and they developed a decryption tool to help pre-existing victims in like a state of limbo who maybe haven't paid yet. So that was December. And then it came out late last month via a CISA advisory that Black Cat had targeted hospitals increasingly over the last 2 or 3 months and healthcare providers since this sort of partial takedown.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that news, sort of rolled up in it, even though I don't think it was mentioned in CISA's advisory, was that Change Healthcare, which is a sort of healthcare payment provider, pretty big deal. I think supports a lot of pharmacies around the nation and other healthcare providers. They're a software provider. They ended up getting hit by a ransomware attack that Black Cat took credit for. Seems like it was an affiliate who did it. And it's a pretty big deal of an attack because there were reports, at least from around the internet, that pharmacies were sort of heavily affected by this, that for maybe a brief period, the only way some people could get their medicine was paying out of pocket, although I'm sure they figured that out quickly. But it was a heavy disruption. I think it would be fair to say for at least a little bit there. Mm-hmm. And Change was, I think, pretty much out of commission for like what, a week and a half, basically. A couple weeks, and yeah. they're still having some issues.
Still having some issues. We've got some coverage of this on our sites. Health IT Security, you know, mm-hmm. Covered this quite a bit, and the disruptions to healthcare services in terms of, you know, getting prescriptions and getting payments for those types of things. It's everything's askew for the companies that rely on them, and it's maybe had a broader impact than even we first realized when that news of that attack went down and in the days afterward. the disruption started to come to light. It's pretty bad.
Yep.
So.
And we're recording this on March 7th, early this month, like March 1st, 2nd, 3rd. There was sort of some talk that, like, oh, it seems like an Alpha affiliate sent a $20 million payment to Alpha or Black Hat. And researchers were saying that this looks like this might actually be change is ransomware payment, but they didn't really confirm or deny. Though they did, I think, within a day or two, confirm that like Black Hat was the threat actor who took credit for the attack.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was the Wired report that was first to document that or confirm, I guess, that payment to the, because it was to a cryptocurrency wallet that was controlled by Black Hat. And yeah, and it was I guess confirmed by TRM Labs, I believe, and Recorded Future, I think, also observed it. So yeah, big news.
So then this seemed to be a payment from Change Healthcare, and then a day or two later on Ramp, which is sort of an illicit goods Russian language dark web message board forum, one of the affiliates was like, hey, we received this payment from, I think they said Optum, which is like a sister organization of
Yep.
Change,
Yep.
under United Health,
Yep.
the mother company, whatever. They said, hey, they sent us $20 million, or they sent Black Hat $20 million. We haven't seen a penny of that, and they keep coming up with all these excuses, and we're pretty sure they're bailing on us. And then on Talks, which is sort of a messaging protocol, there were a couple interesting things from Black Hat administrators. They were like posting these statuses like GG, as in good game, suggesting they were outie. And then there was like another message that was in the same vein as that that they posted around the same time. And then they were offering their source code for $5 million. And then there was this other message that administrators posted later, basically saying, oh, the FBI did it. But it wasn't even clear what the FBI did. But for some reason, the FBI took some action that compromised Black Hat in some way. It was sort of a another weird screed, I guess I can probably say here. And the general overall perspective from both the hacker side and the research side, and although I said possible exit scam, I think we're generally of the same mind here, is that it seems like Black Hat administrators got a $20 million payment in some cryptocurrency and was like, yeah, there's too much heat on us, we're just gonna bail and take this payment, suggesting that they did in fact do an exit scam.
And
And
not right, and not just take the payment, but make it appear not just through the messaging about, FBI, but they apparently put up a seizure notice on their website, to say, oh, they got us, but they didn't. As you noted in your story, a very astute researcher or InfoSec professional with Recorded Future, I believe Recorded Future, right, had observed that the data on that website did not match. There were
Oh, yeah, the whole seizure thing, right?
the data on that seizure notice was did not align with what an authentic seizure notice would look like. Let's just put it that way.
Yes, so part of this whole thing was that while they were covering their tracks, they posted a takedown notice that was like marked by Europol and NCA, and which is the UK sort of national crime agency, and I think the FBI's name was on there. And it was like, this site has been seized by blah blah blah, and then a bunch of logos like we see all the time. But researchers were saying, that yeah, this seems like they are hosting this elsewhere and are just pasting the image. This doesn't seem like an actual government takedown notice. They're the way they're encoded into the websites that they seize.
Right.
And we reached out, and other reporters reached out we reached out to CISA and FBI and Europol. CISA and FBI said nothing, but Europol was like, yeah, we're not involved with this. And then I think Fabian Wosar from MSIsoft also heard similar from NCA in the UK, basically saying like, we have no involvement in anything happening here, which is, I think, actually, I forgot to say it, but may actually be the most damning evidence that this is an exit scam.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's possible that the FBI did something on their own, but you'd figure a couple days later, because this, I believe this emerged Monday, word started trickling out. You'd think that, normally within 24 hours, they come out and they say something. They have a statement, they have some type of like announcement revealing the takedown. In this case, it's Thursday now, there's nothing. And the other partnering agencies that have worked with the FBI and CISA and a lot of this stuff have said, no, we weren't involved in any of this. So I think it's safe to say that they were not nabbed by the feds, that they shut down, that apparently to make off with this $22 million payment. But I guess my question is, to what end? Why not just close down? Like, why the histrionics? Why the theater? Why the if people are going to know that quickly, and both on the hacker side and the vendor researcher side, be able to tell that this is, something's rotten in Denmark here. What's the point? Like, did it buy them some time to get away with this? I don't know, to send the cryptocurrency through some mixers and more effectively disappear. I just don't understand like who they thought they were fooling and why this was even done in the first place. They could have just shut down and gone dark and at least left lingering questions about what was going on for a while. But this whole theater seemed like that, like they tipped their hands, like no one believed it.
Well, I think there's a couple ways to look at it, right? On the one hand is, this isn't for us. This isn't for the FBI. These theatrics are to get away with the $20 million, the stolen $20 million
Sure.
that they secondarily stole from other hackers who may also be kids.
Yeah.
And which, to that point, which I don't mean in a disparaging way. It's just a lot of these threat actors are in their early to mid 20s, like, or some, in some cases, like even a little younger than that.
Yeah.
They might not be James Bond thoughtful expert criminals. Like, they might just be like, we're stealing $20 million. This is insane. We're taking it from these other criminals, I guess. And let's just try to cover our tracks really quick. And they just might not be adept at doing so.
I think that's probably the answer. It's the most reasonable explanation. It's still weird to me because, if you're a cyber criminal and you're a hacker and you're embroiled in this lifestyle, in this world, in this landscape, I mean, they have to kind of, I assume they'd have to know that this probably isn't going to fool many people for very long, if at all. And it didn't seem like it did, really for more than, maybe, like, honestly, like maybe a few hours. It seemed like after a few hours, people were already like, this is suspicious. This doesn't seem like there's already word that there's a dispute with this affiliate. And now they're, come on. I guess I want to go back to something that you said, about maybe them just deciding because there was too much heat around the Change Healthcare attack, because we may have said, we talked about this previously, but, I There's been talk about this being like the colonial pipeline of healthcare attacks, like in terms of ransomware. Like it's been that disruptive, costing a lot of money, impeding a lot of services. So do you, is that your thought on this? Like that they just decided, wow, there's a lot of attention on this attack, and there's probably going to be some type of response, intense, aggressive response from law enforcement and governments, and we're just gonna take the money and run? Or do you think maybe they just said, this is $22 million. We've already been shut down once. Let's just take the money and run. Because initially, that's what I maybe thought. I'm like, $22 million is a big payday. I mean, by comparison, Colonial Pipeline paid, what was it, 4.5 million, something around that. This is $22 million. Again, assuming it is Change Healthcare that made that payment. But I wonder if that was maybe more of a factor than sort of fearing the heat and the repercussions that are going to come with that attack. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I think it was the latter one. I think if these are 20-year-olds, and who knows, they could be older. They could be younger, but they could be older. I think impulsivity is probably a factor here, right? But the thing is, like, I don't want to be a like, do you know how much a carton of eggs costs now, guy? But it's almost a little sad because it's like 20 million sounds like a lot of money. But when you, let's say with all the mixers, that takes a huge cut of it. You're only seeing a fraction of even what makes it out of the mixers because that's based on what you can even sell. So it's like, let's say they never get caught by the police and they're not going to be able to get extradited and they literally get away with this. I'd be curious to ask Chainalysis, like, how much of this money would they actually see? Because I like, would it be a quarter? Because let's say it's $5 million USD, and it depends a lot on what country they're in. But if I'm thinking about $5 million in the United States, divided among four people, let's say that becomes $1.25 million. That's a lot of money. But like, Rob, you pay a mortgage, I pay a mortgage. I mean, that money, like,
I'm sweating just thinking about it right now. Yeah, no,
it'll pay off your debts where we are, and you'll have like a good nest egg for your kids, but you're not rich by any means.
I don't know if they're thinking about, like, if they've got families of their own, if they're thinking about college tuition down the road. Yeah, no, it's a fair point. It may not carry them as far as they think, but like, I guess that's the other thing I'm thinking about. Financial planning and financial strategy, probably, if you're talking about, again, hackers that may be in their mid-20s or whatever, it's
Not their
probably
strong
not
suit.
on their minds. I mean, I just think of, I believe it was the Evil Corp guys. I remember there was coverage of them years ago where like one of the guys who had been identified by law enforcement, I think indicted, and I can't place his name, but he was like driving like a neon green custom painted Lamborghini around like Moscow or wherever in Russia with like a license plate that was like, hacker one or hacks for life or what, just like it, foolish spending and kind of, broadcasting that they were part of a major cybercrime organization. So yeah, I don't know that these guys are particularly, like you said, they're probably impulsive and probably not planning ahead. I initially thought like, hey, maybe they just decided to get out while the getting's good. But the more I thought about it, the more I'm wondering if maybe there is some fear of law enforcement getting to them, because this is this is something that I think doesn't get enough attention and coverage. You know, in that takedown back in December, the feds talked about how they had an insider, an informant, confidential informant that helped them with the operation. We don't know exactly how, we don't know where or what. We don't know if there were also law enforcement agents that infiltrated this organization. It's a lot of it's kept under wraps.
Sure.
But it certainly seems like somebody that was at least an affiliate, at least involved with that ransomware as a service operation on some level, turned on them. And now you have another individual out there who's got a grievance. And there was word from different threat analysts and cybersecurity vendors out there, even prior to that affiliate coming forward and complaining, that there was some frustrations within the greater Black Cat collective community out there about them being hard to work with. I guess. I mean, you know, maybe not outright stiffing payments, but reduced payments or changing terms or et cetera, et cetera. So some frustration out there. So I wonder if they saw what was unfolding with this Change Healthcare attack and said, well, we've got some disgruntled folks out there. We don't want them turning on us because that's probably what they're going to do. So let's just close it up shop and preemptively say we were taken down before we were actually taken down. So it's a possibility. I at this point, I don't know that it really matters. They shut down the operations. This isn't, there's apparently no activity. I've been checking the Tor domains, not seeing much out there. And it makes you wonder if these guys, if this is like truly the end of Black Hat, and if there's going to be some type of rebranding later on with this group, you know, a la what happened with the Colonial Pipeline attack, because I believe that was Dark Side, and then they rebranded as a sort of offshoot, you know, with similar code and a couple of different groups, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, but I mean, they're functionally gone, right? I mean, this appears to be it. Like this, and there's no way, I mean, you don't think that they could come back and be like, whoops, we're sorry, we did this because we, you know, there was some law enforcement heat and we wanted to throw the feds off. Like, no one would buy that, right? Their credibility must be shot.
Yeah, you would think so. Except it's like, I don't know. I don't know how credibility works in the minds of criminals.
Yeah, fair point.
In the same way, I forget if it was someone from Sophos or Mandy, and maybe it was Sophos, was telling me about Lockbit. Like, there are still affiliates out there,
Yep.
like with the malware,
Yep.
regardless of what happened here.
Right.
It's still a threat. And it's almost like if you're an affiliate, which is someone who probably has less technical know-how, do you care that much about this? Or is the fact that you have this malware that you know how to use and you have an ongoing relationship of some kind, which I guess that is different now, like,
Yeah.
how much do you even care?
Yeah.
Like,
That's a great point. It's a great
yeah.
point. To the larger conversation about the age, knowledge, skill level, strategy, mindsets, thinkings, their overall approach of Black Hat affiliates, I think there's something worth pointing out here as we wrap up this episode. A couple of vendors, cybersecurity companies posted this week around the same time as this was going down. A couple of incident response related teardowns of Black Cat attacks. You know, sort of anatomy of a Black Cat ransomware attack type blog posts, research, etc. One of them was Signia startup. And I wrote a little bit about that. There was another one that just went live, I believe, from Crowd. Yes, CrowdStrike. Similar types of reports with some similar findings, although they're two very different attacks in some respects and engagements. I believe it was multiple attacks in the CrowdStrike report, but I think it's worth discussing some of the findings in these reports, especially the Signia one, which I'm a little bit more familiar with, because it doesn't seem like these guys were super hackers with a lot of OPSEC. In fact, it seems like these guys didn't really do a lot to avoid detection. And I know in the Signia report specifically, in that engagement, which was sometime in 2023, they noted that the threat actor was in for about 30 days in that network before they started exfiltrating data, and they tripped a few alarms, generated a few alerts and detections. And for whatever reason, those detections and those alerts were missed. I don't know why. And in fact, the most interesting thing I think about that story with Signia was that when they got called in as the data finally was being exfiltrated, Signia's IR team basically said, "You got to shut down the network. You got to kill all internet access. Shut everything down, all ingress, egress, all traffic. Boom, gone." And they didn't initially want to do it, the client. And they said it was difficult to convince them to do that. I would not want to be an IR person, let me tell you that. Because the signs were there that an attack was underway, and indeed data was being exfiltrated. And I can only imagine the conversation that the Signia IR team was having with the client. Like, listen, you who knows if these guys have a ransomware payload already in your environment, let alone could be trying to download one as we speak. Like, we got to shut everything down. But to the larger point, you know, for our discussion, it just it seemed like they didn't really care what they were tripping, or what, like, they didn't really go out of their way to avoid, like, some attackers, some nation state guys will go in and they'll try to disable like Microsoft Defender, or they'll try to, you know, do all these evasion things. That was not the case, apparently, in these engagements. They just went in and were just like knocking stuff over as they're trying to rob the place, and without it, without much of a care, without a care in the world. Well, I mean, maybe they did have a care in the world. We're probably talking about two different affiliates or several different affiliates, but yeah, they just the detections were there and they were just missed. They were just missed, and it's weird. It's like, I don't know. I mean, in both cases, they were using our clone, this like a data, you know, a management synchronization tool for like cloud storage. Well, why would someone be using that? I mean, I guess it's possible that it could be authorized in your environment, but then there's other things about, like, you know, in the Signia report, they're talking about when, you know, somebody trying to use Windows Task Manager to take password, you know, like credential data from memory. It's like, why would someone be doing that? The, you know, a detection for that, an alert for that, that stopped that, that was generated for a reason. No one apparently saw that alert. Or maybe they did see it and they thought, well, maybe this is someone in IT. I don't know. I would love an explanation. I'd love to talk to folks inside there to figure out like what why they missed those signs.
Yeah, I couldn't even speculate, to be
But
honest.
to the to the like I said, to the larger point, it just seemed like they were not super skilled. They were not like super, you know, super duper hackers. And they, you know, were not doing a lot to hide their tracks. I think this quote really stood out to me from the CrowdStrike report, and I'll just read it quick. In the conclusion, it says, however, it does appear that the different Alpha Spider, which is their name for the Black Hat groups, Alpha Spider affiliates who performed the actions described in this blog post had no specific operational security OPSEC, in parentheses, measures in place to avoid being detected. The lack of OPSEC measures gives defenders un gives defenders numerous opportunities to detect and respond to all Alpha Spider affiliate operations, as long as they are able to respond in a fast and an effective way in the scenario of an ongoing breach. I mean, that's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically saying, like, these guys are generating alerts. They're getting detected. You gotta pay attention and stop it before they get to the data. And if not before they get to the data, before they detonate a payload. So, I don't know that this is going to be very useful for anyone going forward because these guys have closed down. But these affiliates, the point I want to make here, these affiliates are going to use the same tactics and approaches. They are. Doesn't matter the type of ransomware they use. They're going to go to another group now. If they've made money like this before, they're going to try the same thing. And I encourage listeners out there to read these two reports and to look at how they got inside and figure out ways to, I don't know, shore up your security postures and prevent that. So,
sure.
But yeah, doesn't seem like they're the brightest bulbs, but then again, they're effective hackers because they got to Change Healthcare and apparently got a $22 million payment. So,
it's like, I don't know, with all these things, like, we do talk about, like, oh, they're just kids, whatever, but, you know, if they got Change Healthcare,
right,
it doesn't matter what we think about the way they communicate or whatever. They ran with $20 million. If they're in Russia, they're not going to get arrested, probably, as long as no Russians got caught in the crossfire. And which I'm guessing the cost of living is a lot lower there. And in addition, what would it say about Change Healthcare if we're insulting these threat actors to a certain extent?
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying we shouldn't insult them. Like, sure, they're criminals, right?
Right. No. Yeah.
But it's like, yes, they seem clumsy and impulsive and not super bright. But if they won, and it's too early to say, but if they won the game they were playing, does it really matter?
Yeah. That's a great point. Hopefully it'll matter to future potential victims that are dealing with similar types of attacks, and hopefully they heed the warning signs. So,
sure.
But let's wrap it there.
Yep.
Alex, I really appreciate you taking the time to discuss this with me. Thank you very much.
Of course. Anytime.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of the Risk and Repeat podcast and Tech Target. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.